A basic income for all adults of $18,500 a year, tapering off as work-related earnings increase, would lift tens of thousands out of poverty and dramatically reduce inequality in Australia. Now, the proposal is Australians' basic income is comparable to a UBI, which is a universal basic income. Now, this is a policy option that's attracted growing international attention during the past decade. I know we've spoken about it several times on this program here. So there is a study that's been put together. And the effects of a basic, it was basically to evaluate the effects of a basic income payment of $14,650 a year, which is equivalent to the job seeker payment before COVID-19, and then a payment of $18,500 per year. The lower payment would have an annual net cost of $103 billion, the more generous option, $126 billion. Now, the lead author is Dr. Ben Spies, and Dr. Ben Spies Butcher, and he joins me on the phone this afternoon. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how you going?
Oh, I'm good, mate. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
No worry. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Now, this particular study that you and a couple of other people from the ANU and from the University of Sydney, another guy that put it together, giving credit where credit's due, Ben Phillips and the University of Sydney's Troy Henderson, you evaluated the effects of a basic income payment of $14,650 against the $18,500. Tell me your thoughts on what's the pros and the cons of the Australian basic income, or the UBI as a lot of us know it.
Yeah, so we were interested in seeing how this policy could work in practice in Australia, and particularly weighing up, I suppose, the cost that would come to the budget versus the benefits. And we found that the benefits actually pretty remarkable in terms of lowering inequality in Australia and reducing poverty. They were quite dramatic. So we would go from Australia at the moment, for people who don't know, is a relatively unequal country by the standards of rich countries around the world. We used to be much more equal, but we've been drifting more unequal for the last 30 or 40 years.
Let me jump in there. By that, do you mean the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer?
Yeah, particularly that the rich are getting richer.
Right.
And this payment would reverse most of that drift and would move Australia to being one of the most equal countries in the world. But in terms of its impact on taxation, Australia is also quite a low taxing country compared to other rich countries. It would move us to about the middle. So we'd still be taxing less than countries like France or Sweden or Finland, but we would have inequality that was even lower than France and comparable to the most equal countries. And it would dramatically reduce poverty as well. So in terms of a relatively efficient policy, it hits a lot of those buttons. And actually, it would improve work incentives for quite a lot of people. The main beneficiaries are people who are earning just a little bit of money. So they're people with part-time, irregular work who often miss out from our current welfare system but would be included in a more universal system.
So, for example, someone that might be a casual worker at the moment who's earning $250 or $300 a week, that affects their Centrelink payments now. In this plan that you're looking at, the $18,500 Australian basic wage, it would not be affected. Is that correct? They'd still get that total amount of $18,500.
So it does taper out instead of being taxed, in a sense. So there's a kind of tricky bit which arm we use, whether it's taxation or Centrelink. But they would keep a lot more of it than they currently do now. Yes, that's the point. So at the moment, once you earn a little bit of money on, say, Job Seeker, you can earn a little bit of money without having to lose any of your payment. But once you get above that, you start losing 60 cents in the dollar. And you also, around that time, start paying 20 cents in the dollar in tax. So that's a lot of income you lose. And this scheme would reduce that, so people kept more of their money. And that's largely why it reduces inequality and poverty, is because it allows very low-income earners to keep more of their money.
Ben, let's use me as an example. I don't earn. Now, the threshold to not receive the Australian basic income is $180,000. How did you come up with that figure?
Look, so what we did was we tried to integrate it into the current tax system. So we said, let's apply it to Australia as it currently stands today with its policy settings, and that's the top marginal income tax threshold. So we wanted to spread it out as evenly as we could across that period, and that's why we did that. But someone who was on, say, $170,000 a year would probably only be getting about $5 or $6 a week of it. So you wouldn't be getting very much at all.
Okay.
But the point of that is that obviously if you go from earning, if you have a payment of $18,000 at one income level, if you earn a little bit more, you lose it all. That creates a really strong disincentive to work. So we have to be really smooth in the way that we take it away. But that means people on high incomes get very small payments.
And how does this incentivize people to go out and find themselves a job? And what I mean by that is we know, unfortunately, there are people that are getting job seeker and they just want to get job seeker. They don't want to go and get themselves a job. And, they've been doing it for a long time. They've been milking the system. How do we incentivize these people to get off their BTM and go and get themselves a job?
Yeah, look, there's been some studies of policies like this overseas. And so one recent one in Finland looked at long-term unemployed people who went from getting the kind of payment we have now, like JobSeeker, to getting a more universal basic income payment. It showed that, if anything, that had a positive effect on people trying to get work. And that's partly because it really improved people's mental health. It improved their sense of optimism, of social trust and cooperation. And so people were in a much better headspace to get themselves organised, and also to overcome a lot of the barriers that people face when they're trying to get a job. For example, being able to get a good shirt, being able to get public transport effectively to job interviews. So yes, there are some people who might milk it, but that's the case in virtually all systems.
It is.
I think we've gone a little bit too far into building the entire system for those few people, and in the process, we've actually got in the road of a whole bunch of people who are trying to get out there and get a job, and they can't because they don't have the support they need.
Under this system, where does the ABI cut off? I mean, when do you not get your $18,500?
Well, you start, so it gradually reduces as you get income, but you get most of it up to about $70,000 or $80,000 a year. And then, as I say, you get quite small payments if you're earning above that.
Sorry, Ben, I should have made myself clearer. What age? What age does
what
it cut
age?
Off? Yes.
So we modelled it up until the age pension age.
Right.
So this is a working age payment. Is for, 18 to 66-ish it is now. And then you would transition onto the age pension.
Onto the pension. So you've told me lots of pros. Have you come across any of the cons? What are some of the cons of this?
Well, obviously it's going to increase taxation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a cost that people need to bear in mind. Before COVID, a figure like $100 billion probably sounded like a lot more than it does now. The budget deficit is a lot more than that currently. And in terms of GDP, the overall size of the economy, it's not that high. But it depends how you levy those taxes. And if you can do that in ways which are both less fair and more destructive of economic output. So you have to be really careful about that. There are some people, as you mentioned before, who are worried about making sure that people do the right thing and want to have conditions to ensure they do. And that's a political choice, I suppose, whether people think it's better to allow people to know what their own circumstances are and do the best thing for themselves, or whether we want to set up a bureaucracy that monitors them closely. So, that's a matter of political judgment.
As the ABI starts to gain more attention, have you got government people talking about it here? I mean, policymakers, are they talking about it?
Yeah, I think there is growing interest, and certainly I've heard from a number of economists in the last couple of days since we put out this paper, who have said there is real interest in Australia.
Right.
It's a big shift, so I think one of the things we're looking at, we were saying, if you went all the way and did this, what would it look like? But I think there are a series of smaller steps we could take as well, and we're looking at what they look like and how they could be introduced gradually. That's where we're going next with the research.
All right, we'll keep in touch. We'll follow. Thank you for your time this afternoon. We'll leave it there, but it's a very interesting topic, and it's not the first time that we've talked about it on this particular radio show. I know we've had several people ring and talk about particularly the UBI, but the Australian version of it, the Australian Basic Income. It's a good topic to talk about, and as I said, we'll follow the story and maybe we'll talk again. Thank you, Dr. Ben Spice-Butcher, for chatting with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure. There you go. That's Dr. Ben Spice-Butcher. What do you think? The Australian Basic Income. We know it as the Universal Basic Income. $18,500 a year. all sorts of rules and regulations of how much you get, how much you pay, how much you don't pay, how much you can earn before you start to have that $18,500, you know, cut back. How much does it increase the taxation that we pay? Again, I don't know why I need to, or someone in my position, or, you know, anyone earning a good wage. I mean, there's not a lot of people listening today that would be earning $180,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And I don't know, even $100,000 a year. I mean, I don't know why you need it, but I suppose if you're a single bloke out there working, and any bit helps, doesn't it? We'll take a break here.